shores of El Pacifico. Bill Hendrick.
Poor baby.
Death was accidental.
Sir, can we talk to you about the noose and the sign you've got on your garage?
My colleagues in the Hispanic Congressional Caucus accepted voting for the health care reform bill.
Alcohol can expose children to different kinds of behaviors, even just language that I wouldn't want my child exposed to.
World famous Phil Hendrick Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And truth is our bitch on this show. I don't care, man, if we go down swinging, you know, on a third strike, at least we gave it our best shot. I'd rather do this show than any other show out there. I'd rather have this radio show than any other television or radio show out there. I've listened to psychology talk, financial talk. I've watched talking heads. I've listened to sports talk. I've listened to political talk. I've listened to liberal talk. And the best talk show that I've ever heard in my life is this one. So check us out online as well at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. You can pick up a backstage pass and watch, as well as listen to our show. You can watch our show, our video cast, each and every night. We also have a five-day video archive and, of course, our audio archives, including downloads of each show. A woman crashes her car while shaving her, you know, and she crashes the car. And that's long overdue. This hour, big story, I don't know if you heard, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, the very Court of Appeals that ruled that under God was unconstitutional, has now ruled that under God is not unconstitutional and that it is back in the Pledge of Allegiance. A federal appeals court in San Francisco upheld the use of the words under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, and in the phrase, in God we trust, on U.S. currency, rejecting arguments on Thursday that the phrases violate the separation of church and state. Here was their reasoning. And by the way, this is the argument that we made around Christmas time, and we make it every Christmas. And I think this is spot on, as they say. The court said that in God we trust and under God were not so much religious phrases or prayers, they were indications or representations of American culture. They represented a part of a very diverse American landscape in terms of attitude, opinion, culture, taste, etc. And so these words, in God we trust or under God, are not a prayer so much as they are ceremonial and patriotic. And that's exactly what we said when we talked about, you know, the Christmas trees and all of that jazz, you know, around Christmas time. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Coming on the line with us now is Don Mixa. Don Mixa is we've had him on a couple of times on the program. He's a professor of engineering at the University of Washington, or as they affectionately call it there, UW. And he joins us this hour to talk about this. Don, You're no stranger to the progressive or liberal point of view, but I have to tell you, you and I don't agree hardly on anything, and I guess we're not going to agree on this one either. I'm not a religious guy,
I understand,
but I think that under God, it ain't no thing. You know, I believe in the separation of church and state, but to me, this just isn't anything. This is just it's like the court said, it is a ceremonial.
Well, Phil, the use of under God or in God we trust, I'm a professor at UW, and I have an awful lot of contact with the liberal and progressive elements on our campus. I also have a lot of contact with the Student Atheist Union. We have a University of Washington Atheist Society and so forth. I fear, because I do have conversations with these students. We have I guess you would call a Sunday morning coffee clutch at the Starbucks down here in the mall, and we kick around a lot of things. I fear that the floodgates are going to open onto a new era here of the activist, for want of a better word, the jihadist, atheist.
You mean violent? Atheists?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what they have in mind. I know they're a very radical type of people. And I have to be honest with you, I have some sympathy with them because while I do agree with you that we should have a separation of church and state, I think when you use these clever arguments that the court uses to reinsert under God into the Pledge of Allegiance or reinsert in God we trust under the money that would have been taken off, I think when you use these clever arguments that they're using, you incite the working class student that we have here at UW, our atheist student, our progressive student, our liberal student, our very blue-collar students. They don't get a lot of the clever arguments and all of these clever phrases and these judges that, spend time at the theater or buying expensive cognacs for their wives. All they understand is that they don't want to hear the words under God because it's offensive to them. It sickens them. And I think we have to be very mindful of that.
You know, when you say it sickens them, let me go back to the man who originally brought the lawsuit. I remember this guy because I remember thinking, boy, what a pain in the ass this guy is. His name is Newdow. That's it. And apparently he brought this lawsuit. He's a doctor and a lawyer, which I suppose makes him something real special in the eyes of some people. The court said that he lacked the legal standing to file the suit because he did not have custody of the daughter that was being forced to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. So he didn't have any legal standing. So he filed an identical challenge on behalf of other parents who objected to the recitation of the pledge at school. And in 2005, a federal judge in Sacramento decided in Newdow's favor, ruling that the pledge was unconstitutional. He says he wants to be treated equally. He says that, he had his supporters of the phrase want to have their religious views espoused by the government. You agree with that?
I do. I have to agree with it for a couple of reasons. A lot of these atheists are my students. I have to have contact with them every day. And I enjoy having contact with them. But I can't take a point of view that is so diametrically opposed to them that I put myself at risk. That's number one. Number two, I do agree that we need to keep God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. The court making this ruling has incited our atheist students. It has incited our non-believing students. And it has incited the liberal and progressive revolutionary blue-collar and working-class student of the University of Washington other campuses who are made violently ill by even the sound of the word God.
That's what I wanted to mention.
Hold on for just a minute, Phil.
Yeah, but this guy, this Newdow guy, you'd almost think that this guy was being subjected to torture.
Well, it's not too far off. How so? How so? There are some people, Phil, in our society that, and I may be one of them. I want to be objective here, and so I don't want to tell you how I feel exactly. I could be one of them, and maybe I'm not one of them. But there are some people that when they hear the word God, they lose control of their bowels. They lose control of their bodily functions. They are so sickened by it, and they are so traumatized by it, that when they hear the name God or Jesus Christ, that they have no control over their physical reaction, and they have they vomit, they go into epileptic fit and seizure.
Is this a lesion or
no? It's the fact that they have been subjected to under God, so often, so much, and without any reason, really, any real constitutional reason, that it is like torture. And I would go so far as to say, were I arguing this before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, that if the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that waterboarding, for instance, is illegal because it is torture, that subjecting an atheist who has said repeatedly, I don't want to hear it, why do you keep doing it to me? And yet we keep telling them, under God, that we are subjecting them to a kind of mind-numbing torture, almost as if it is a mind-cleansing or a mind-erasing type of phrase that renders one a hopeless vegetable. It's a horrible thought. One man dead, another a hopeless vegetable.
So you are saying to an atheist, hearing the word God is like waterboarding him.
To some. To others, they may become violent. I don't think we need a third front. On the one front, we're battling the jihadists, and on the other front, we're battling a rabid atheist underclass made all the more mentally unstable by the use of the word God to the point that these people have become dangerous. This is what I'm trying to say.
All right, we're with Don Mixa from the University of Washington as we talk about the phrase under God. It is now back in the Pledge of Allegiance. The ruling made by the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco upholding the use of the words under God. He says now that putting that phrase back into the Pledge of Allegiance is going to stir up, or it's going to incite atheists to perhaps violent acts. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
There's no need for an 8-year-old child to learn how to fire a machine gun unless he's living in Somalia. In which case, you know, line them up, man. The shooting range's open in Massachusetts.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. We're talking here on the show about the U.S. 9th District Court of Appeals, which has ruled now, in a reversal of itself, that the phrase under God and the phrase in God we trust, actually, they are not unconstitutional phrases. Under God can go back into our Pledge of Allegiance. In God we trust is not unconstitutional when it appears on our money. This is the 9th U.S. Court of Appeals, which in 2004 and 2005 rendered decisions favorable to those who wanted these phrases removed, mostly atheists. Talking with us from the University of Washington, Seattle, is Don Mixa, is an engineering professor. Don, you're talking about atheists on campus, atheists elsewhere, who are going to react very negatively to this, which may include violence. Do you support that?
Well, you're putting me in a little bit of an uncomfortable position, Phil. I don't want to say whether I support it. I guess I have to say, if you want me to be honest with you, I have to say I understand it. I certainly do understand the frustration that atheists are feeling, because you're asking them to live with a phrase and a word that is anathema, which is physically uncomfortable to hear. I think you have to understand that it is a physical, revulsion. When you mention the name Jesus Christ, it is revolting. It is nausea causing. It, the Virgin Mary, any symbol, any icon, any. And so, do I agree? Do I?
Yeah. Do you concur, or do you? You say you understand it.
I understand it. I do understand. If atheists become violent, if we have to deal with a third front of atheists, godless atheists who have had it up to here with under God here and in God we trust there, I don't know what to say other than to say the following. We better sack up. I guess the only way I can say it.
Say what?
I think we better sack up.
Sack up.
That's right.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Over to a phone call in Gardena. Henry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I want to say that, I'm 52 years old. I've never ran into an atheist. I do realize that on, let's say, the Jackson dollar coin, it doesn't say any of the God we trust. That's probably the only thing that I've ever seen. And it needs to be in the Pledge of Allegiance. It's always been there. And this professor,
it's been there since
1915.
Somebody inserted it in there. Someone inserted it in there. It wasn't always there.
Well, it's been in there since 1915, when they put it in there.
No, the 1950s is when it was put in there, sir. Your information.
Okay, then I might be a little off there.
A little off, yeah, about 40 years off.
Well, you say you have a class of all atheists. I've never heard of anything like that. You must.
I didn't say that. I said I had no atheists on. You're not listening very carefully. I know atheists on campus, and say there is a group of atheists on campus that I'm in touch with, and I'm frightened. I'm frightened for what they're going to do, because they got the word today, and I saw them meeting. And
with you know, due respect, without the saying right. "God We Trust" and right. "Pledge Allegiance." Yeah. You realize that this world is pretty much doomed by people that think like that.
I don't know. I think that all I know is that we've got atheists out there that are ready to go to war. They're godless. And if you can imagine a man who is godless going to war, he can, he's got nothing to lose. So I don't think there's a crucifixion. That doesn't bother him. See, crucifixion bothers a person that believes in God because they know what that represents. Godless atheist to crucify someone is simply another way of doing away with them.
And what are you saying here, man? Because there's a lot of stuff you're saying that's a little creepy, you know?
Like what? Yeah. This gentleman, well, what is it that you want me to say?
What do you mean atheists are... Well, go ahead, Henry. I don't mean to interrupt you,
No, you're hitting it.
What do you mean by atheists are into crucifixion?
I'm saying that if you are a Christian, it is a sacred thing to crucify someone. If you're not a Christian, to crucify someone is simply another way of putting an end to them. That's all I'm saying. So a Christian would not want to crucify somebody because that's a holy thing. So if the Christians and the atheists go to war, that's one thing that atheists have in their arsenal that Christians won't go near, and that's crucifixion.
A Christian believes that if you take somebody's life, your life shall be taken from you. That's in the Bible.
But if you crucify somebody, it is respected, isn't it?
Well,
I don't know anything about
crucified.
It.
I'm talking basically as an eye for an eye.
Okay, yeah. But isn't it holy? Isn't it considered a holy thing in the Christian faith to nail
it's
someone?
It's not
to a cross?
Holy thing. It's not a holy
it's not.
Thing. No.
I thought that it was. Okay.
No.
My understanding. Well, what is the thing with crucifixion? Why are Christians always running around talking about crucifixion as if it's something they...
Well, when they say crucifixion, they're talking about God being crucified.
Jesus,
it's
yeah.
not going...
Yeah.
Yes, yes,
oh,
Jesus.
Oh, all right. Oh,
we're not
okay.
talking
right.
about crucifying...
I thought it was something you enjoyed, you know. I didn't know if it was something that was considered... So can you do it to people, though, if you're a Christian? Are you allowed to do that?
Are you allowed to crucify people? Is that what
yes,
you're asking?
That's my question, yeah, because I'm not familiar with the...
Well, no, that is against the law, sir.
No, I understand that, but in the Christian faith, is it considered a fast way to God, a fast track to heaven to crucify someone?
No, it's not a fast track.
It's not,
track
all right.
To God.
Okay, then I've got my facts wrong.
But boy, you sure do have your facts wrong. Hey, listen, Henry, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. No, crucifixion is something that was inflicted on Jesus of Nazareth, considered to be the personification of God.
Oh, I understand that, the Son of God.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not, he was crucified by the Romans.
Well, what is the point of everyone yammering about that? Because the reason why I'm making this point, Phil, is because the atheists, it bothers them. When the Christians go on and on about people being nailed to crosses, it sickens them.
Well, I can understand that it would sicken anybody, but in the context of the Christian faith, it is part of a miracle, which is that Jesus rose from the dead.
All right, but to get to the rising from the dead part, you've got to get to the crucifixion part, and that's the part that makes most atheists want to vomit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? I'm not trying to tell you that there is anything wrong with it, but I am saying you've got to back it off because these atheists have had it. They've had it with Under God, and they've had it with In God We Trust, and they've had it with morning, noon, and night, a guy getting nailed on a wall or however they do it.
On a cross.
Well, you know, you seem to enjoy talking about it, and that's fine.
I don't enjoy talking about it. I don't enjoy listening to somebody tell me that the atheists are about to go on the warpath because they've had it.
I'm telling you that they've had it, yes.
The atheists you've talked to.
I am in touch with a significant atheist underground, and they are ready to go, as they say, ape crap on certain people.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Don Mix on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Pastor William Renick will be joining us a little bit later on for an in-depth discussion on actually a demographic news story, the prediction being that there will be more people of color than there are Caucasian people by the middle of the century, that minority births, so-called, are now outnumbering white births. And Pastor Renick on to talk with us about that in a few minutes. Our number 877-876-PHIL, and of course our website, philhendryshow.com. On the line with me here is Don Mixa from University of Washington, from their engineering department. But really, we're talking about something very political, very social. You were saying, and you know, with the under God being put back in the pledge, or at least it can be put back in the pledge, it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody is going to go back to reciting the Pledge of Allegiance in schools. Nonetheless, you say atheists are really going to be pissed off. That's what you're saying.
Well, I don't know if pissed off is the word.
Well, you're talking about them having almost a physically allergic reaction.
Well, you know, Phil, in many ways.
Well, then, no, I'm being very serious now, Don. You're talking about atheists hearing the word God.
Well, in many ways, it is. You have to recognize, I think we've learned this over the centuries, we've come to recognize, for instance, that alcoholism, which we thought was a disease of character, is really a disease of a physical disease. And I think that the God is, in a way, a physical disease. We have atheists who are sickened. And by sickened, I mean there is an abundance of salivation. It is followed by a fever, sometimes followed by a rash. It can be a physical reaction that causes muscle convulsion. And this is just from hearing the word God. If you saw that film 28 Days Later, I'm not saying that that's what happens.
You mean the Rage virus?
Yeah, but that's a ridiculous movie. But if you want something that is close to the Rage virus, go up to an atheist and say, under God, under God, under God, or, you know, in God we trust, in God we trust. And you will see a physical transformation that approximates what that one guy did in the movie where he put his thumbs into the eyeballs of that woman. You know.
Well, that's a very violent thing.
Absolutely very violent, isn't it?
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here. This is Beth. Beth is calling us from Lexington, Massachusetts. Beth, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa.
Hi. I'm not normally up this
yes.
late, but I'm a hospice nurse, and I'm on my way home from having sat with somebody who is dying. I'm not worried about atheists getting violent. All 6% of them can get as violent as they want. Most people in this country are Christians. And if the demographic changes the way, you know, people are saying it's going to, a large number of them are going to be Catholics. If you're offended by Christ or Christianity, you're a bigot. And I'm sure you won't run around telling the Muslims how much you hate Allah, because they would respond to you in a way that was much more violent than anything any atheist could do. You sound like you need a psychiatric evaluation, frankly. And by
well,
the way,
I would respond. I would respond to the lady by saying this: to say that 6% of the population is somehow holding back the other 94%, I think, is almost laughable. But let's go ahead and go with it. This 6% does react in a very physical way. It is not unlike a virus of some kind.
Well, maybe they're
I beg your pardon?
Maybe they're mentally ill, too. I mean, it sounds to me like you're nuts. If I don't agree with somebody, like their political point of view, I don't have a physical violent reaction. You know, I'm not Jewish, but I don't have a problem with people who are, and I don't have a problem with people who are Muslim, and I don't have a problem with people who are Buddhist or gay. And I don't have a physical reaction to people because they don't agree with me. If you do, there's something wrong with you psychiatrically, and I think you need an evaluation if you're threatening violence. And I don't think that you speak for every atheist.
Well, I didn't say that I was. I was saying atheists do. But you just a moment ago said that Muslims react violently, so I think you are bigoted toward Muslims. I think you indicated that very clearly. But let's get back to this idea that the atheist is violent, and not violent from the standpoint of just standing in line waiting to get a Starbucks coffee. I stand in line with them every Sunday morning when we have our discussions, but when you say to them, oh, by the way, under God, just to get your kicks, that's when you're dancing with the devil, as they say.
Well, what's going to happen?
Even God, even the devil, right? If you don't believe in God, then you don't believe in the devil. The other thing is, if you're an atheist, you don't believe in God, then when you die, according to you, you go nowhere. You should think those people would be much more afraid of death than Christians and Buddhists and Muslims and Jews, because they believe in an afterlife. So I don't see people getting violent who think that when they die, their life is going to come to an end, because don't think the rest of us are incapable of defending ourselves.
Well, I don't doubt that you think that you can, but can you defend yourself against someone who is going to shove his thumbs into your eyeballs? No, I don't think so.
What is that about, man? What is that about, man?
I'm trying to tell the lady that if she's standing there 1 minute ordering her cafe cubano or whatever it is she gets, and the next minute, you know, he's squeezing her skull with his... I'm just saying.
Starbucks would come and beat the trash out of him, frankly. You really think so?
You think Starbucks cares whether you live or die? I don't think so. I think what they want is the money for your cafe cubano, and that's the end of that.
Any guy who runs around threatening to poke women's eyeballs out needs to go to either a psych hospital or a jail. And that's
I'm not saying that it's me, ma'am. I'm saying that an atheist may do it to you when you keep on with this "In God We Trust" stuff. That's all I'm saying.
Don't talk about all the time.
It sounds to me, if I could just jump in, it sounds to me like you are, Don. It sounds to me you're using them as a proxy.
I don't have anything against you or this lady. I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to warn you. The atheist is at the end of his rope.
And by the way, there's a large group of Muslims moving into this country, and they wouldn't put up with you either. You're a minority.
There you are, you're bigoted against Muslims. I thought you said you weren't bigoted. You're calling them violent.
She's saying that
being Muslim because you don't like their religion and you don't like religion. I mean, it's very brave.
I didn't say that. I said that if you were standing next to an atheist and you said to him, hey, how about that under God, and he decided to crush your skull with his hands. Is that me?
I didn't do that. I don't think that he could crush my skull with his hands quite so easily, because I know how to defend myself. And, you know,
sure.
I also think that most people
are
mentally reasonable enough so they don't walk around trying to crush people's skulls because they don't agree with their point of view.
What is that about, Don?
Well, I'm saying this because this lady, just because she got her martial arts degree at a dojo in a strip mall someplace, doesn't mean that she...
Mental instability, frankly. And I think you need a psychic. I don't think you should
be
you're just a nut.
I didn't say it. I'm saying that if they decide, believe what you want, but if you order your coffee 1 minute and you start talking to somebody about God the next and he bites your wrist, okay, like a dog, what would
then
you do?
Then he's crazy and he belongs in a mental institution.
Yeah, of course he does. Of course he does. But what do you do in the meantime?
I don't stand in line at coffee shops talking about God. I mean, religion is a personal thing.
Exactly, exactly. Although, I mean, I'm sure that at Starbucks, especially in downtown Seattle...
Well, we've got a lot of God nuts. There's a group of nuts that come... They come to my Starbucks where the atheists are, and these nuts are with God and all this.
All right. I got to take a break. I got to move on. Thank you very much, Beth, for your call, though. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to Nick. Nick, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Don Mixa. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Phil. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
I myself, I'm an atheist, and before I start, I'd just like to please ask Don. He has a problem, it seems, with interrupting people when they're talking, but let me get my point
out. I just want one thing. There's a Starbucks
exactly
in downtown Seattle where they've got a lot of God people. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, now let's let this gentleman go ahead.
That's exactly what I was talking about, see. But anyway, as an atheist, I'm sure there are a lot of things me and Don can agree on, but... Coming from this atheist, I can't say that I personally...
I know atheists.
Well, whatever
I get
you
along with them.
What?
I get along with atheists. Many of them are my students. Many of them are fellow professors at the university. I get along with them very fine. I'm just trying to say that you people, are you telling me that you're not tired of hearing God every which way? Of course you are.
I'm just going to finish what I was saying because you really try to just get people off. Anyway,
no,
I can't say as an atheist that I'm on any kind of war path or that I'm about to raise any ape, you know, quote, ape crap about people talking about God or the crucifixion. Honestly, to me, and I know this is going to offend a lot of people, to me, the Bible is a piece of literature that is, you know, stuck through the ages. Irregardless, that's no reason to get offended by somebody talking about their Savior on a cross. I mean, if that's what they choose to believe in, I don't believe that anybody has a right to say boo to it, because I have my beliefs, and yes, as the lady said before, we are a minority. We're a very small minority, and we're the least accepted minority in this country right now, and being an atheist isn't easy, but that doesn't give you room to step on anybody else or tell somebody else that what they're believing in is making you sick, because as a Christian, I mean, you've got to really not judge anyone who wouldn't believe in Christianity, but from the other side of the coin,
I'm not a Christian. I'm a teacher. I'm a professor, and many of my students are atheists.
Oh, I know that you're a teacher, and I've heard all about you bringing your 18-year-old girls. You know, I'm not even going to get on that with you, because
I think you're talking about somebody else. But thank you very much for the compliment. No, but I think what I wanted to say to this young man is this: atheists, especially in the urban centers like Seattle and some of the larger cities, are not as chilled out, shall we say, as this young man is. They are ready to literally, and I mean this, begin to gnaw on people.
What do you mean literally?
What I mean by that is that they are tired of having God turned into almost a sausage-like piece of food and shoved down their throat so that they are forced to eat something that's poisonous, and they're also humiliated by how it looks.
I'm not saying that Christianity makes me feel good and like that I like to hear about it either, but all you have to do is shut your ears, get out of the damn room, and you don't got to hear anything about it. You don't have to talk about how something makes you queasy just because somebody's on a cross. I mean, if there is this large movement in Seattle you're talking about, I think you guys really need to sit down and just think about how it is to be...
That's a good point.
As an atheist.
I want to... Nick makes a
Christian for being a Christian.
Nick makes a good point, Don. What is it about... Is this something that's going on in Seattle, perhaps, and nowhere else?
I don't know. You gentlemen may be right. I know we have a very fervent and rabid atheist here in the Seattle area. I know that they will. The Seattle atheist will suddenly turn on you and attack you like a dog would attack you. I mean...
What do you mean, like a dog would attack me?
I mean, as if you were being attacked by a dog. Your throat.
Teeth on my throat.
Yes. Yes. Now, I don't know where this gentleman's calling from. But
I don't disagree that Christianity is shoved down everyone's throat, but when you live in a place such as America, in which Christianity is going to be the majority, it will always be the majority, you just got to suck it up and live with it, because... If you don't like it, I know they say get out, but, you know,
let
I'm
me
not
ask you a question about
either,
it, Nick,
all you
how do you tell a,
it,
if you saw that, you know, Mr. Henry was making a joke about that 28 days later or whatever, but how do you tell a zombie to suck it up? How do you tell a rage virus zombie to suck it up? You don't do that.
Well, we're not talking about a science fiction movie. We're talking about real life.
You're absolutely right.
I've never seen a zombie in my life, okay? So I'm not really worried about
it. Neither have I. But I will just ask you, how do you tell a zombie that eats entrails to suck it up and wait for something better to eat? I don't know how that works.
All right. I have to take a break. I appreciate your call, Nick. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking to Don Mixa. What is that? You're talking about atheists in Seattle almost as if they are... Not in control of their emotions?
No, that's not the case at all, Phil. Of course, they're some of the most intelligent, some of the most educated, some of the most lively people I know. They have great senses of humor, great card players, conversationalists, great taste in music. I have a great and intimate and loving circle of friends, and every last one of them is an atheist. But they are generous people to a fault. They have God. It's almost as if there is a metamorphosis from man to beast. And these people that are kind and generous turn into a rabid, a rabies-ridden thing. A thing. I can't explain it.
All right, hold on. 877-87. How do you go from being a very kind and gentle and generous person to a rabies-ridden thing? 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
There's no need for an 8-year-old child to learn how to fire a machine gun unless he's living in Somalia, in which case, you know, line him up, man. The shooting range's open in Massachusetts. Famous Phil Hendry Show. Next hour, Pastor William Renick joins us. And if you want to visit us online, it's philhendryshow.com. On with the Professor of Engineering from the University of Washington, Don Mixa. I'm Phil Hendry. And Don, you mentioned the rabid atheist of Seattle, as if there is some major difference. You know these guys. You know these young men and women. They're students. You say most of them are very equanimous and normal people. But where do these people, you know, off campus, where do you find them?
Well, an awful lot of your very rabid atheists hanging out on First Hill, Capitol Hill, some in Magnolia, good chunk are in Bellevue, too. But I can tell you that they are they're good people, but like any good person, when you push them too far, and they get the taste of blood in their mouth, and obviously the majority are in the U District, too, obviously.
That would be the university?
Right, that's the university. When they smell flesh and they get the taste of blood and they get a red, bloodshot look in their eye when they hear God, they're not responsible for what they do. How could they possibly be responsible for what they do?
Let me go to another phone call here on the Phil Hendry Show. We've got Dottie on the line here in Akron, Ohio. Hi, Dottie. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm afraid your guest, being a professor, has taught his students well, hasn't he? No wonder there are so many like him, because he's a good teacher. However, all I have to say to him is...
Well, I hope I am. I hope I am.
Oh, I'm sure you are. But perhaps you don't remember that this country was founded by Christians and a belief in God. This whole country was founded...
Well, that's the propaganda, anyway.
No, that's not propaganda. But... Hey, for being a professor...
Well, we were founded by...
Being a professor.
You know, we had Native Americans that helped us at the Revolution and fight the French and the British. We had, they were not Christians. They were Indians. We had Jews.
Haven't you ever opened
Are you aware that we
book?
Had... Yes, I have, ma'am, and I happen to know we did have Jews in the very early part of the colonial period. We had Native people, very early part. We had black people. They were not certainly Christian. They were slaves from Africa. So I think you're stretching the truth a little bit.
I'm
not changing the subject at all. You're saying that the country was founded by Christians, and it wasn't.
That's right. It was. And
no,
that,
it wasn't.
Therefore, they have a right to be
I read history. I read. See,
right
this is why.
Here.
But you understand, Dottie, I think you have a right to say what you're saying, but most atheists are tired of you.
Well, I don't care how tired they are. You know something? If they don't like what goes on in this country, why don't they go to the inner parts of China or Russia? They wouldn't have to.
The inner part of China.
Dottie,
the average atheist today would pick you up and throw you off the top of a windmill or something.
So.
That's how much they think. Well, they would want to. I'm not saying they would.
Well, they might want to, but I've got a way to defend myself, too.
Well, let's not threaten people.
No, I'm not threatening. Dottie, I like Dottie, but I'm saying...
No, I'm afraid you don't, because I believe in God.
What would you do if you were confronted in a Starbucks by an atheist with bloodshot eyes?
I'd pull my Smith & Wesson out and let him have it.
Oh, you carry a gun?
None of your business.
Well, I guess you do, and I hope that you have a license for that, because most states there is a
license
for concealed carry.
Don't you know that this whole country now...
Well, you'd have to get it out fast enough, because you know that these atheists will hook their thumbs into your mouth, and they will try to just tear your mouth. See, atheists, this is what I mean, Phil.
Well, I don't understand. What do you mean they'd hook their thumbs into her mouth?
How do I put this? They just want to tear the whole head off.
I can't believe he teaches.
Atheists? Are you talking about this? Do you discuss this in your class?
The kids say to me, they're so tired of hearing about In God We Trust.
Tell them to leave.
They would just as soon, you know, throw someone like that off of the roof of a windmill.
Why don't they get on a boat?
Well, why don't you?
Because I love.
Why don't you? See,
I love this country.
You may. Well, atheists love the country too.
No, they don't.
You. Yes, they
no,
do.
They
just don't like you. They don't like you.
That's too bad. They just have
they
to
don't
put
like
up
you.
With it, don't they?
Why should they have to put up with you?
Well, why
should
they
have
to
put up with
you? The country was founded
because
on this.
Because you
God.
Are making them sick. You make them sick, Dottie. You
well,
see
not
how you laugh
enough,
at that, though?
Apparently.
Don't you, you? Why do you laugh at that when you know
I
that
laugh
you make
because
sick?
It's not sick enough. Otherwise, they'd leave.
Oh, it's sick enough because they want to put their thumbs into someone's eyeball. You don't think that's sick enough?
Yeah. You're teaching
oh,
about vampires.
Phil Henry.
Why won't you listen to me?
Visit us online at Talk Radio.